in a week from today, there'll be 17 people, 16 from this church, one from Alberta, whose name is Jensen, who's not here this morning, and Sophie is not here this morning for the reason I mentioned, but neither is Spencer or Jocelyn. So Spencer Wharton and Jocelyn were on board because they, I think, I'm right to say they're both up at still getting some training for this summer, so we were sorry to miss them, but they are among the team, the 17 team of youth, young adults and adults. I'll be going to Sankintin, Mexico a week from today, partnering with One Life, One Chance International to build a home for Columba Gomez Vasquez, that's terrible Spanish, sorry, Floribel Lopez Hernandez and their children Jennifer, Yamalith, and Aiden, as are pictured here. They currently live in a home that is this size. So five people, and that's actually a better home than some of the homes we might see in our travels in the valley. Columba is a migrant field worker who makes roughly 1,000 pesos per week, which works out to approximately $65 Canadian. The 2018 Mexico team will be giving this family a hand up on your behalf. But the team will do way more than just build a home. We'll meet for worship every morning. And devotionals, we will eat some extraordinary good street tacos, cannot wait for that. We will be involved in all kinds of other outreaches. We will perhaps be involved in extending the roof line of Pastor Rosa's house to the church building that is on her property to extend that space for meeting for worship. This is, of course, the church, Pastor Rosa's church, where our family attends and process their application for this build. We may be involved in finishing the dorms that have been built at Los Olivos just this summer. That'd be kind of cool. We will likely be painting a local school. We will be distributing food and clothing at the dump and at the Cortorias, where migrant workers' children stay through the day, often on their own because both parents have to work in the fields. We will be meeting as a team each night to debrief our days. And new this trip, I'm actually really super excited about this. We will be co-hosting a pool party at Los Olivos with Yarrow Alliance Church. Los Olivos, by the way, is base camp. And do you know what Los Olivos means in Spanish? Who's that? Who said it? The Olivos. There you go. So that's base camp. So at base camp on Friday, we're going to have a chance to meet with all of our previous house-built families. So that'll be including this one. So seven of our families are going to descend on the campus. We're going to order pizza, but they're going to bring their food as well. So we're not just doing a party for them, we're throwing a party with them. But not just them, we're also going to have all the Yarrow Alliance Church families, which probably is more like 10 of them. So we're going to have 17 families or so. Our team, Yarrow's team, oh, it's going to be fantastic. This will give us more time through the course of the week at night, actually, to care for each other as a team instead of traveling all over the valley to our house-built families. But why? Why do we do this? Why are we sending our seventh team in as many years to Sankintin, Mexico? So here's what we've said before, if you'll follow the text with me here. Here's what we've said before. Is that all I've said? No? Oh, there we go. Yeah. We believe the churches in Sankintin. We believe in the churches, the local church, who work with One Life, One Chance to care for the people of Sankintin. So we're investing in the church who is invested in by One Life, One Chance. Next slide, please. We believe that helping a family build a home helps them build a better life. It builds a safer life. And what we have noticed in building these homes is they become homes in the communities where others come. Right? It's safe, it's welcome, and it has resources. Next, please, we believe in relationship and the ongoing care of our families in Mexico. This is included in the past education pieces, but it will also include the visits that we'll have, and we'll bless our families that way on Friday. We believe that building and clothing and feeding are some of the good things that God has prepared in advance for us to do. Right? This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We believe in the power of mutual transformation. We obey the call of going, and we believe that in going we help make lives better, but we come back pretty changed too. I've said this before, we come back and we get more engaged, we come back and we're more appreciative for what we have, that kind of thing. And we still believe these things. This morning I'm going to add a few thoughts that just apply the scriptures that will expand our thinking on why we go and why we do the things that we do, which aren't relegated to just this missions team that we're sending. These are texts for all of us. And so, whereas we're commissioning Lynn, as we're commissioning graduates, this is a commissioning service for all of us. Not just the team, but all of us. First of these texts are, as this one here. The short for it will be, we are blessed to be a blessing. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I'll show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. So God reiterates this promise actually two more times to Abraham in chapter 15 and in chapter 22. So what? What does this have to do with us? It looks like it's talking to Abraham, right? But for what Paul does in Romans chapter 11, verses 11 to 24, Paul compares Israel to the natural branches of a cultivated olive tree, possibly was, and the Gentile believers to the branches of a wild olive tree in this passage in Romans chapter 11. The natural branches, Israel, were broken off, and the wild branches, Gentiles, you and I, were grafted in. Meaning this, Gentiles who express faith in God are called, like Abraham, to be blessed and to be a blessing to everyone on earth. So what does this mean for us? That we are called to bless others where and when we can because we are blessed. This is a proof that we understand God's enormous affection for us and all peoples, and our faith in him to do what he has asked us to do, namely, to be a blessing of shame. As James wrote in James chapter 2, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm, well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, it's dead. We are blessed to be a blessing. Which doesn't mean saying to someone who needs our help, may the Lord bless you. It means doing what we can, when we can, however we can, time, talent, treasure, to love others. And trusting that our brothers and sisters in Christ are doing the same everywhere they are, so that everyone is being cared for in some way in the name of Jesus Christ. Here's the second text. We are meant to worship on more than just Sundays. It's a long one, so stay with me. It's not the kind of fact, so it's put it in context. Israel's just about to go into exile, and they're saying to God, people, be fast, right? We do these things that I think please you. And Father God says, but your heart's not like it. It's just religious. It's not the kind of fasting I have chosen. Is this not it? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? These questions, of course, are rhetorical, right? To act justly, to do justice, to share our food with those who are hungry, to provide shelter for those who need it, and to share our clothing with those who have so little, is how we worship. how we fast, not as Isaiah describes earlier in this passage, as we'll see here. For day after day, Israel seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and is not forsaking the commands of its God. They ask me for justice and seem eager for God to come near them, saying, why have you fasted and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Next. Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please, and you exploit your workers. You're fasting and to quarreling and strife and striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. You cannot only come on Sundays religiously, half-heartedly. When we bow our heads in worship and do religious things. No. Worship is a lifestyle. It is not a day. It may be a lifestyle charged and supported by worshiping together on Sundays. But worship is a way of being. It is thinking and believing and behaving in ways that demonstrate the worth we place on what God thinks, what God says, what God does. Worship, then, is the way of justice and generosity and sacrifice. Justice, generosity, and sacrifice. Who does that sound like? Jesus. Isaiah goes on to say that living this way will produce these kinds of effects in our lives. The next text, please. Can I get the next text? Is that it? So it is. No, I get 8 and 9. I get 8 and 9. Is that the next one? Is 8 and 9 there? Is it there now? Okay. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will call for help, and he will say, here am I. And it will let a whisper that here am I. Because we will already be doing what he's asked us to do. We will be that close. His desires will be ours. His activity will be ours. What we say will be what he says. So he'll just be, we'll be so close. Here am I. Next text. And to summarize it, we are the sheep at Jesus' right hand. This is Matthew chapter 25, also a fairly long text. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all of the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Continuing. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. So that's what he has. That's good news. Next text. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and mine, you did for me. So lots of people interpret these brothers of mine as referring to how we would treat the Jewish people, because Jesus was a Jew, correct. But I think it'd be fair to say that we could extend this interpretation in principle, certainly, to include all of humanity on the basis that God is the Father of all, which would make his Son, Jesus, brother to all. This said, I think the point is this, that those at the right hand of Jesus fed the hungry, quenched the thirsty, befriended the stranger, clothed those without clothing, cared for the sick, and visited those in prison, that those at the right hand of Jesus did the kinds of things that Jesus would do, that those at the right hand of Jesus will be rewarded because they served without any thought of reward. Why do we do what we do? Because we are blessed to be a blessing, because worship is a lifestyle, not a day, because Christians do what Christ would do. That's why we're called Christians. And then last text. We are called to be religious purists. Here's the text, James chapter 1, verse 27. Religion that God our Father sees. Okay. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So two examples that apply in our mission. There's a building on campus at Los Olivos called Casa de Refugio, and it would be translated House of Refuge. And it is a home for boys and girls who have been abused or abandoned by their parents. They are the orphans of our day. And then second, we apply this text. Our first home build was for a single parent mother, to Maria, who would be a widow in our day, we might say. And we'll see her hopefully on Friday this week. This is pure and faultless religion at work. It is active and it is looking to make a difference. As James says later in his letter, we read before, faith by itself is not accompanied by action, is dead. But, and we'll end here, let's take a quick look at that second class. Religion that our Father accepts as pure and faultless is to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Okay, so one of the ways we can understand the word religion is by its connection with the ancient word religare, which means to bind fast. So hearing this, we may immediately, I know I did anyway, think of the Orthodox Jewish religious practice where they bind fast, where they tie little black leather cube-shaped cases, which you might know to be called phylacteries, to their forehead and to their left wrist, their forehead to keep the scriptures on their mind. Their left arm, because that's where their heart resides, to have the word located there as well. I also like to think that means very clearly to see it, and it's practical, and it's part of our taking steps in our day. That might be a useful picture for us to remember, the phylacteries tied here, for us to remember what James might be hinting at in his passage about religion. Perhaps what James is saying is this, that we must bind fast in what we see, what we think, what we do, in our minds, in our hearts, to Jesus, to keep ourselves from being polluted by a world that is set against God, a world that has rejected Jesus, and a world whose spirit is anti-Christ. So, why are we sending our seventh team in as many years to San Quentin, Mexico? Why do we do the things we do as commissioned disciples of Jesus Christ? Those are four pillar texts in addition to what we've observed otherwise and mentioned earlier. And they are, then in summary, because we are blessed to be a blessing, because worship is a lifestyle, not a day, because Christians do what Christ would do, because right religion has the mind and the heart and the feet of Jesus. This is how we are all sent ones into our worlds, our schools, our workplaces, where we meet with people, where we recreate, in our homes, all together. It's a call for all of us.